This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Of all the suicides each year in the United States, 20% of them are committed by U.S. veterans. And that number is growing as a result of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. The White House is trying to deal with this growing problem by increasing the Veterans Administration's budget by $25 million over the next 5 years. It's also now easier for vets to get treated for post-traumatic stress disorder. But what is the best way to help veterans who come back from war with psychological wounds? We're joined in the studio by two veterans with PTSD. Stephen Mandilli was a soldier in Iraq, and Mo Armstrong was a Marine in the Vietnam War. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Steve, let's start with you. You were in Iraq relatively recently. You were there to guard prisoners, is that right?
Correct, yes. We weren't allowed to call them prisoners. We were to call them protected people.
And who were these protected people, typically?
The people we were with were part of the PMOI, the People's Mujahideen of Iran. They are a terrorist group that's on their terrorist watch list that worked for Saddam in Iraq. And once we invaded, they had no place, any country willing to take them. So,
and what parts of Iraq were you in and for how long?
It was called Ashraf. I was there for 8 months, and that's about 15 minutes north of Baghdad.
And when did you get back from Iraq?
I was medevaced in September of 2005.
So you were medevaced because you were injured?
Yes.
How did you get injured?
I was in a convoy through Baghdad going to a courthouse with a few of the protected people, and had to, the easiest way to put it is crash into a possible suicide bomber that was on the highway. He drove a van, he was speeding, driving erratically, things we watch out for, and as soon as he got on the highway, he got right in front of us. That was how they operated. They would cut off a convoy and then blow themselves up in the vehicle.
So protocol said keep going forward even if you think this is going to result in an accident.
Yep.
And you were injured in this accident.
Yep.
What happened?
I was pretty much slammed, bounced around in the Humvee. We were going probably about 50. I was driving. I had, I think it was 5 or 6 ruptured discs in my back. And then once they finally got me to an MRI, they found many things wrong with my spine. And also traumatic brain injury as well.
And did you eventually, after you returned home, become diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yes. When I got back to the States, when you're being demobilized, they give you at that time it was a standard test on the internet that would say whether you had PTSD or not.
Steve Mandilli, you eventually sought counseling for that, and I want to talk to you about that. But before I do, I want to turn to Mo Armstrong, who's right here next to you, because Mo, you fought in Vietnam, also were injured. Can you first tell us what exactly you did in Vietnam?
Well, I was a medical corpsman, so my job was to mainly take care of people who had been shot and wounded. But 6 months into combat, my sergeant became mentally ill, and I didn't know what to do. I'd never been trained about anything with mental illness. And a year later, or six months more later, I became mentally ill, and I didn't know what to do with me. I couldn't, like, stabilize, you know. And we had one more ambush. There were a couple of kids, 14. We killed them with M79 grenade launchers. And I got back to the ship, and I started, like, washing off, taking these hot showers, because I knew if I took hot baths, I could kind of relax. And I was trying to relax. I had all this anxiety. They had me medevaced in 24 hours. I got medevaced in 66, so the war was pretty new.
Do you think it was your involvement in the war itself, being in conflict or witnessing conflict, that triggered that mental illness?
I've thought my whole life about it. I think there's genetic factors at play. I think that there's, you know, levels of trauma. I was in a lot of combat missions. I'm decorated, have the same Navy commendation with a combat V John McGain's got. I mean, a lot of stuff, you know, momentary things. These guys had tried to surrender, and they ended up getting shot anyway, you know, because we just reacted, you know. They were North Vietnamese regulars, you know, so as far as we were concerned, we were under fire all the time. you know, that the inhumanity. Seems like mental illness is a no-fault condition. It just happens to people. But we don't know much about what to do with people when it happens. That's what I've spent the past 40 years trying to find out.
Mo Armstrong and Steve Mandilli, you are both in wars. You were both injured in wars. Steve, when you got back, you had a spine injury, a head injury, post-traumatic stress disorder. How did those things change you when you returned home to the United States?
It completely changed my life. I was a very athletic, outgoing person, so I feel the exact opposite of that now. I was number one on the list to become a policeman in the town of Bellingham, and number one on the list to become a firefighter in the town of Milford, which is two things that I always wanted to do in my life, and that was pretty much taken from me due to the spinal injury and also the PTSD. I played semi-pro football before I went to Iraq, so everything I'd loved to do and thought I would become was, you know, gone. I pretty much had a long process of mourning basically who I was and now trying to figure out what I was going to become.
Did you feel that it was mostly the physical limitations you came back to that held you back, or was it also the post-traumatic stress disorder? Was it also more than just physical?
It was definitely more than physical. With the PTSD, it was a lot of anxiety, lots of anger, lots of sleeping problems. I'm lucky to sleep for more than two hours at a time at night. I always wake up every like hour and a half.
You did seek out counseling at a local VA. Did that help you?
It helped a little bit with being able to talk about it and getting things out, along with the medications that help a little. But I really haven't found anything that can help me think differently, and that's one of my problems, is what they call cognitive thinking, where I go through, something will happen, and I will go through in my head, you know, 20 different ways that what it could mean, when actually, you know, I just got to take it for what it's worth.
Give us a little bit of history here, because you had been getting some kind of counseling or services. It was interrupted or stopped in some way. So tell us what happened.
I'd had a couple different counselors, but in June 2009, I had a spinal fusion done, and I went to my next appointment 2 months after the surgery, where I could go back out and start doing things. And when I got there, they told me that she was no longer there. And they had also let another person go, and they had no one to replace, and they'd get in touch with me when they had someone new. And they still don't have anyone new. So I'd been constantly calling them, asking, and they asked me if I would drive to Jamaica Plain or West Roxbury or into Boston for care every week. But with my physical disability, it's hard.
Because you live in central Massachusetts as well.
Correct, yep.
Steve, let me come back to that. Let me go back to Mo Armstrong, because Mo, you also at some point sought out counseling when you got back.
I seek it out every day of the week.
And Mo, you eventually started working with people who have mental illnesses. You worked as a counselor, and eventually you began focusing on veterans.
Yeah, I first started with veterans doing this back in 85, 86, College of Santa Fe, because all these veterans were washing out of school. I was the veterans guy at the college. Everybody wants to help the veteran till they meet us. And then all of a sudden, people are like, totally, oh, I don't want to work with that veteran. That veteran's too angry, or that veteran's too irritable, or that veteran's too negative. So, you know, what I did was I started to set up this counseling stuff that was keeping veterans in school. And then I tried to work for the VA. That didn't work out. So then I started working in the public mental health sector, doing the same thing, setting up these ongoing educational support meetings, each one, reach one, teach one. And that seems to work. And I still believe in the Veterans Administration. We just need to do more peer support. I mean, I need ongoing checking in with people, processing through stuff. I mean, I'm trying to navigate with high levels of anxiety and depression every day of the week.
Steve Mandilli, we're hearing Mo Armstrong, who's been out of the Vietnam War for 40-plus years. Does this ring true to you? You've only been out for a few years from Iraq.
Definitely. I've been out since September 2005. I feel the same way, that I believe in the VA with other things, like from my physical injuries for benefits, but with mental health, there's a lot of coming and going with new doctors, and you really get tired of telling your story from the beginning, you know, after you spent 4 years with someone, and then you have to start all over, and it's disheartening. You feel like you're just repeating yourself over and over, and you're not really getting anywhere.
Steve Mandilli, you made some calls to a suicide hotline at some point. Is that right?
Yes. I've probably called the suicide hotline about 4 or 5 times in the last year. I don't want to say incoherent, but it becomes impossible to calm down and think, like you said, coherently. And then I just don't know what to do. I've got no one to talk to. I don't want to go to my wife or my family with it because I feel like I've just been a burden on the people you love, and you just want to give them a break. And there's no one to reach out to. So,
is it a VA hotline?
Yes.
And it has helped, apparently.
It helps me calm down and relax a little bit. But you know, they set up for someone to call you the next day to set you up with a more regular therapy. But I always run into the same problem where they just don't have enough people.
Mo Armstrong, you fought in Vietnam, as we've said. You now do counseling for veterans. You have said that, interestingly, many of the veterans coming in for counseling are actually veterans who fought in Vietnam who only now are seeking out services and counseling.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. A guy that I was with, Mike Figmick, who I really love a lot. He was, you know, this 8-man patrol. I mean, you get to know everybody pretty well. So I'm in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and my name's posted all over because I'm giving a talk over there, Mo Armstrong. And he comes up and he says, "Are you Doc Armstrong?" And I said, "Yeah." And he says, "Well, it's Figmick." And so Figmick, you know, has now lost his job. He's been working in corrections. Correct me if I'm wrong, but working in corrections, man, you got to be a real straight arrow. You aren't like loosey-goosey in the head, you know, working in the prison system, okay? So now he's all out of his mind. He's living in a Toyota FJ. Wife's throwing him out of the house. He's lost the house completely. And he gives me as his last offering the black and white photos that he had saved from Vietnam, and he didn't even know what was going to happen to him next, and I haven't heard from him since. So this is 42 years after the war. This is happening in major mass to these Vietnam veterans also, which nobody seems to be picking up on. The VA has an idea that it's happening because they found out that about 80% of people coming in for new psychiatric visits are Vietnam veterans and 20% are Iraq and Afghanistan veterans.
Why do you think we're seeing an increase in suicides among people who've come back, especially from places like Iraq and Afghanistan? Steve Mandilli?
There's a point in war where you lose your innocence that you've had being in America, and you see humanity at its worst. And once you see that, it stays with you and it affects you. And some people just, they can't take it. And then you can get some help, but then people start turning to alcohol, and that's a slippery slope.
So Mo Armstrong and Steve Mandilli, when people come back from conflicts, from wars, and they've lost their innocence, as you just put it, Steve, what do you think this country can do for those people? Because it seems that the two of you think that what's happening now is often not working.
There's something about being a veteran. We've had it all stripped from us. We've been in these combats. We've been in this conflict. We aren't like everybody else. Everybody keeps trying to normalize us. We really aren't like everybody else. We don't fit. I'm still out of sync with the rest of society 42 years later. You know, we've missed a lot. A lot's happened to us. And everybody thinks that we're just going to come back and go, "Hi, how are you? I'd like a little cup of coffee. Let's sit down and have a conversation between you and me." You know, I mean, we've had to do some horrible things in horrible conditions, all in the name of U.S. policy and war, and now we're supposed to integrate back into society with little or no help. I mean, for me, 40 years later, I need somebody working with me every day of the week. That's what seems to work for me.
And Steve Mandilli, what do you think you need that you haven't been able to get from the services available right now?
I need steady counseling at least once a week, and I have to be able to rely on that. You have to have it more catered to yourself, where with the VA, it just feels like cookie-cutter care, I guess, like the same care for everybody, and it needs to be more about the individual. I also feel that with not having enough staff in certain VA hospitals and community, that they've got to allow you to seek care from the private sector and be able to cover that. So there has to be something done where you can keep getting the care that you need and not just be put in a stack, and when they get to you, they'll get to you.
You know, what we refuse to do is build this, what I would call an army of peer support people out there. I built Vet to Vet, and I attend peer support meetings myself every day of the week. I'm a member of the group. I'm not the leader. I'm just there.
Mo Armstrong, Vet to Vet is a national organization?
Yeah. 39 sites all across America, all researched by Yale University, all super effective.
Run by the federal VA?
No, outside of VA, but inside VA facilities. So, you know, we partner with the VA, we're friends with the VA, but we give people this ongoing educational, anything from 2 to 5 support meetings a week, and it's that each one, reach one, teach one model. So we have materials that are at no cost to anybody. You can order those materials at vet2vet with the number 2, vet2vetusa.org, or you can get the video at 203-937-3850 at no cost, 203-937-3850, no cost, and you can start to learn how to set up these vet2vet meetings. You can also call me, 203-623-0731. I, at no cost, will gladly help you set up sites. I trained 120 people in Georgia 2 weeks ago. But, you know, to do that, that's the kind of numbers I'm talking about. 120 people in Georgia are doing vet to vet, not just a couple of people who want to do good by veterans.
Steve Mandilli, your counseling experience at the VA has been mixed, but you've also worked with the SAVE program, a national program called Wounded Warrior, and a program at Mass General called Home Base that works with veterans. Have those other organizations helped fill in the gaps where the VA couldn't seem to help?
For the past 2 months, I've been going to the Home Base program at Mass General Hospital once a month. With the SAVE and the vet centers, they do give you the feeling that they're doing everything they can to help. Home Base is still growing, and that's at Mass General right here in Boston, which is still quite a commute for me. Wounded Warrior Project has been excellent. I've gotten in touch with a lot of other veterans, and that can help to an extent. The thing they do is they try to get you out and doing other things, and they'll listen, which is a lot of what you need. Mostly is just someone to listen. And a lot of the times that I'd called the suicide hotline, you know, my next step was I would call a person from Wounded Warrior Project that has always been there for myself and my wife to help us out.
Steve Mandilli, what advice do you have for other vets who are back from conflicts or wars, no matter what that conflict or war was? They feel like they're not the same person, they don't fit into society, and they feel like they're not getting the help they need. What's your advice for them?
You have to reach out to every organization you can. Never say no to any help that's being offered. You have to take whatever's given to you. You have to keep looking, keep on the VA for the help that you're looking for. At one point, it's going to come down to you and searching for help. So just to get on the internet, look for different organizations or just different groups of veterans that talk, and that's the best advice I can give.
And Mo Armstrong, what's your advice for vets who are here and feeling lost and feel like they need something more?
Find a buddy. Find somebody who you can talk to. Figure some stuff out together. I get both professional help and peer help, so I try to mix the two. So with the buddy, I'm kind of cooled out a little. And you've just gotten to know me, but I mean, I can get very anxious very quickly. So I need to, like, process this stuff through with people. Then when I go meet the clinician, they're able to help me. But right now, that buddy system isn't expansively in place like I think it could or should be. We're dealing with a major mental health crisis. Officially, the numbers go anywhere from 400 to 440,000 returning veterans from this conflict. If I'm to ratchet that up, right, with Vietnam veterans, we're dealing with something that 2 to 3 years down the road is not going to be a pretty picture. That's why I chose to go to work for the VA. I chose to try to understand how I can build a system which is effective. I hear what he's saying. I happen to agree with it. You know, I'll be working for the VA myself to try to rectify that in some kind of manner. This is real. His concerns are stuff that I hear every day of the week. But I think we can build a system that's welcoming.
Mo and Steve, thanks for making the trip here to talk about this.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sasha. Thank you.